Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
The Bible talks about knowing God. And the word knowing God is an intimacy. It's not just to say, oh, you know, I've been in Sunday school as a child and I know there's a God, or my parents spoke about him and I know there's a God, but there's an intimacy. And so often when we listen to people's experiences and we look at testimonies, it's during the time of the valley experiences that we get to know God. And over the course of the last few years, I've asked one or two people to come and share their testimony. Today is not going to be one of them days, but next week it is. And there's going to be a person that's going to share their journey with the Lord. And I guarantee it will inspire and encourage, and it will provoke us to say, I want to know you, Lord. And sometime I'd like to share my testimony. I haven't done it for many years, but what I have been doing over the last few weeks is just sharing with you something that really captivated me the week that Clive bought that song, I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear, I Am a Child of God. Something was reignited within me, and it seems strange when we just hear certain words, and it does something. And then I had a privilege of being part of a service of remembrance, and the song was sung again, and there was a tangible, visible almost expression of the Holy Spirit in that room where there was many people gathered, some Christians, some not Christians. And for me, it was tangible that God was present. I'm no longer a slave to fear because I am a child of God. And that's been something I've been looking at for the last, I think, 3 weeks now. And I shared something. I wrote one or two things down, and I'm going to repeat myself, so please forgive me if you heard this last week. But I have to believe that it's for such a time as this. One of the things the Lord spoke to me many years ago was that we're going to bind up broken hearts and we're going to set captives free. This is what the ministry of Jesus was all about, to bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. And we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a sideline, by the way. You get this one free. You're going to get two for the price of one. Many years ago, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a place called Toronto. And I don't know if any of you was aware of that, but there were some really weird and wonderful things happening there. And for me as a Christian at the time, I was very, very skeptical, and quite rightly so with some situations and circumstances. Feathers don't fall down from the sky when an angel leaves you. Did you not know that? But there were certain things, and there was many people become fearful through that time. And every time Holy Spirit was mentioned, they thought about Toronto. They thought, maybe if my pastor prays for me, I'm going to bark like a dog and swim like a fish. Well, that's not true. And this one lady, I heard a testimony. She came to her pastor and she said, I want you to pray for me. Because right through the Bible, from the beginning to the end, it talks about the Holy Spirit. It talks about God being present with his people. He's going to pour it out, Joel says, on all flesh. But I'm afraid. And fear would grip her. And he was obviously a man of wisdom. And he looked at her and he said, so what are you afraid of? She said, I'm afraid of falling over. So he said, sit down. So she sat on the floor. And he said, now you've taken away that fear. And so often fear will grab us and stop us from experiencing what God wants to give us. Sometimes fear will stop us from receiving something because we're not quite sure about the person or the church or the situation. Every church that you've been in, every church, whether it's a wedding or a funeral or just a normal service, you would have heard in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So often we can be in a church setting and we hear in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and fear doesn't grip us. But then we go to a Pentecostal charismaniac church, and suddenly when they go, Holy Spirit, we think, oh my goodness, I'm going to sit down. And I just want to say as a sideline that fear can grip us so much, but grab hold of what the Holy Spirit has for you. Because during our worship today, I don't know about you, I said to someone many years ago, some people shake, some people shudder, some people rattle and roll. I cry. When God gets hold of me, I cry. Why? Because I see something of his goodness and his glory. And I also see the pain in this world. So forgive me if I do end up shaking or crying. I've been thinking about this song. It's what I've written. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And I looked at the meaning of the word slave, and one of them is this: a person who is the legal property of another and forced to obey them. The person who legally belongs to someone else and they live in fear. They are forced to obey them. Slave. Fear, an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. And that's fear. It's an unpleasant emotion. It's something that rises up in us. You know, I get lost going home. I moved house. When I move house, I go back to the old house. I'm so familiar. I'm on autopilot. But you know what? When we went out this weekend with Nigel, don't mind me saying this, with Nigel and Emma. And when Nigel's driving me, I'm not afraid of getting lost. Because he's got a sat nav. He's good at driving. The fear's gone. So for me, I sit down, usually in the back seat, and let someone else drive. Because I get fearful. I get fearful of being lost. So sometimes fear can grab us and master us. And I've been trying to put across certain things during this, we could say, series on fear, so that you can see who God is, even in the fearful situations. I said last week and the week before that there was many things that I was afraid of growing up, and four of those things I've written down here. And last week I spoke about the fear of failure, and for me there was a tangible fear of failure as I was growing up. I never felt I was good enough for anything, and I was afraid of the dark. And that's what I want to speak about today, the darkness. I was fearful of losing loved ones. When I share my testimony, I will read a poem that the Lord, I believe, inspired through the Holy Spirit, gave me the opportunity to put pen to paper, and it just flowed, about my life story, about losing loved ones at an early age, and it didn't stop until I got older. And there was a real fear of every time the phone rang, oh no, I hope it's not another one of my loved ones that has died. And I had a real fear of losing people. And the biggest fear I had of all was of speaking publicly, of reading out publicly. When I was in school, I could not read. I couldn't spell and understand things because of my disability, my dyslexia. And I had a real fear of people laughing at me. Don't laugh. No, you can laugh if it's a joke, but don't laugh with me. No, I had a real fear about speaking publicly. Today I want to talk about the darkness. I had a fear of darkness, and I want to look at the whole subject, and you will know by now it's the same message, because it's the same God, it's the same Holy Spirit. But I want to suggest that sometimes when something is said in a different way, someone else grabs hold of it. I remember when I spent some time in Bible college, believe it or not, and my tutor said this, and it really grabbed me. He said, if you want someone to hear what you have to say, so if you want someone to hear what you have to say, he said, you have to say it in a way that they digest it. And so sometimes we can say one thing. I remember talking to AJ a little while ago when I was giving him a story, and he stopped me. He said, it's wasted on me. It goes straight over my head. I'm not into parable stories. It's wasted on me. But someone else, they go, I get that. You've given a parable, an illustration, a story. So some of you may see God's word for what it really means and what it really says, and it sets you free from a situation. Others will listen to a story and it will set you free. So last week we were talking about fear, the fear of failure. This week we want to talk about darkness, the fear of darkness. And my first scripture is like the first scripture I had 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it's Luke 1:37. No word from God will ever fail. So for me and you, we need to grab hold of that afresh. Mary is saying, if God has said it, God will do it. She goes on to say this, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me fulfilled. So I want to suggest to you, if you've read scripture or God's spoken to you in an audible voice, his word will come to pass. If you read a scripture that says, it says, fear not. In other words, do not fear. And if God says that, then he says it now, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to remind us as a church that there are times that fear will try and creep up on us. There's times that we are enslaved by our circumstances. But if you can remember the song, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. You see, you've been purchased. You belong to him. So when the enemy comes around and says, you belong to me, remember what you did in the past, you can say, sorry, I don't remember what I did in the past, because the Bible says, because his word is true and it will never fail, that all my sins have been forgiven. I've repented, I've accepted Christ as my Savior and Lord. He's forgiven me. So, no, what sins? Why? Because you're a child of God. So, in this situation and this message for today, and we talk about darkness, God's word will never fail. If he said something to you, he'll bring it through to fruition. I know for me, I've been so blessed over the years, because the Lord has spoken to me in word and song and in a rhema, in an audible voice. And I know for me, if he said it, it will come to pass. And I want to encourage us as a church that a few weeks ago, the reason that I'm bringing this together is a few weeks ago, I was in a public meeting, and those that of you that know me, I actually don't like confrontation, but if I have to, I will. I will stand up and I will stand in the gap and I will do what I have to do, not because I'm arrogant or feel that I'm a tough guy, but because I'm a child of God and he's called me to stand and defend the weak and the vulnerable. So if there's a circumstance, I'll do my best, my level best, to stand in the gap for the weak and the vulnerable, to bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. And I'm in a public meeting where there's probably 50 people. And it started to get very hostile. And me being this strong individual, I was like a lump of jelly. And so my legs were quivering. I was sitting down in my seat and I'm thinking to myself, this is unjust. This is not right. And someone ought to stand up and do something about this. And I couldn't stand. There was a fear that came over me, a fear of confrontation. And as I did stand, because he that is in me, remember a week ago or maybe a fortnight ago, I was talking about Caleb. And it says that Caleb had a different spirit. What spirit did he have? He had the Holy Spirit. He said, yes, we can. They may seem like grasshoppers, but God said, remember, this is not made up stuff. This is God's word. In that whole picture there where God says to his people, and remember, he sent leaders out. He said, go and spy out the land that I am giving you. He didn't say, go spy out the land that I might give you if you're strong enough. He said, go spy out the land that I am giving you. Caleb had a different spirit. So for me, I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I felt it because I am a child of God. So I stood up. I won't go into details. And as I started to speak, my voice just went funny and it went up and down. But there was a real tangible fear. And what grabbed me was this, that it struck me that fear just crept up on me and it came from behind. And so often when we're going through life, we can see what's in front of us, but we can't see what's behind us. And the thing that got me when I read scripture was that God is my rear guard. Not only does he give me the full armor of God so I can have everything for going forward, he's also my rear guard. So today, maybe there's one person, maybe there's two people, that fear creeps up on you. There's a fear of failure. There's a fear of the darkness coming upon you. Well, I want to illuminate God's word to you. In Luke 22, verse 32, it says, but I have prayed for you, Simon. This is Jesus speaking now. And if we go up a little further in 31, it says, Simon, Simon. It's a term of endearment when a name is repeated. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, all of you, as wheat. And he's talking to all his disciples, but he's focusing in on Simon, because he knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to deny him. And he said, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So today's message is about when the enemy creeps up on you and fear overtakes you, don't allow Satan to steal your faith. Don't allow him to rob you, because your faith will not fail. How can I be so confident that your faith will not fail? Because God's word puts it like this. It says, if you're no longer a slave to fear, you're a child of God. That means you've been born again of his spirit. It means you said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come and live within me. And there was a deposit of God's spirit deposited with you. And it says this of you, that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, he sat at the right hand of the Father. And what did he do? He intercedes for you. That's what he does. That's what he did. That's what he's still doing. He intercedes for you. So as he's talking to Simon here, he's also talking to me and you, that I have prayed that your faith will not fail. So do you feel at times like me, where you're sitting in this meeting full of nothing, full of fear? Fear of confrontation, fear that if I stand up, I will embarrass myself, fear that the enemy's going to overpower me. And then the word of God comes to me afresh, and I want it to come to you afresh, that he's interceding for you so that your faith does not fail. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you're here today, believe it or not to listen to me, but to hear what God has to say to us and through us. It's his word that will do the work. It's good to hear stories. It's good to hear illustrations, but it's God's word that will do the work. It's God's word that will encourage us in times of trouble. In Exodus 14:10, the whole story here is about let my people go. And Pauline sent me a link explaining the story behind the song that so captivated me. And I didn't realize what the story was, but it's all about let my people go. That God's hand separated the waters and allowed the people to cross over. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. There was a covenant relationship. There was a covenant promise that God's people cried out for. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified. They cried out to the Lord. And then they had a go at Moses. And so often, the first instinct is to go, oh God, help me. And then maybe the second one is, and why did you do that? And so often we can take our eyes off of him and put it on the circumstance again because fear comes upon us. Here we have a group of people that had a covenant relationship with God. They found themselves enslaved, belonging to another, until the day come where they cried out because they were afraid. Fear can grip us in two ways. It can immobilize us or mobilize us. Let me illustrate us. I'm not saying that thus saith the Lord. This is just a picture that God, I believe, gave me of fear. And the Bible says to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, yes? So we want to be wise, yes? We want to be a wise people, so we need to fear the Lord. But when we look at the word fear, so often it has a terrifying consequence. It's something that emotions are stirred up and we're just afraid of something. It's unhealthy. But the fear of the Lord is a healthy fear. It's a bit like saying to your child, don't touch that fire because you'll get burned. So you're not afraid of the fire, but you're afraid of what the fire can do. So the picture I gave, and there again, forgive me if you've heard me say this a couple of weeks ago. The picture I see of God is this. It's like a small child, innocent and naive, in a supermarket, and they get lost. Now, picture yourself, you're in a situation where you can't find your dad. He's took you out, you've left his hand, you've gone and done your thing your way, and you can't find him. There'd be a fear that comes upon you, yes? Or am I the only one? There is, isn't there? There's a fear that comes upon you. You're not afraid of your dad. You're afraid you'll never find your dad. And it's that healthy fear that's saying, God, unless you go with me, I can't do this. Lord, unless you strengthen me, I am weak. Lord, unless you come and fill me, I am empty. So there's a healthy fear of God. So when it says fear God, it's the fear that we can't do this without him. So whatever your situation today, whatever your milestone, whether it's in work or it's in family or it's in finance or it's in health, if you fear the Lord, then he will strengthen your faith. Because his word will never fail. If you fear the Lord, then you'll push out the fear of the enemy. And the light of God's light, love, will shine upon you. And if his love shines upon you through light, it'll push out the darkness. Does that make sense? So we have these people crying out to God because they're terrified. They've put up with so much, haven't they? If you know the story, it talks about making bricks without straw. And have you heard that saying, it's the last straw? Well, it was the last straw. They put up with so much. And for us as Christians, we put up with a lot before we get to that situation where we go, enough is enough. Because for some of us, and for some people that I've spoken to over the years, they'll put up with abuse. They'll put up with gossip. They'll put up with people maligning their character. They'll put up with them not doing something that God has told them to do because fear has got hold of them. Then there comes a point where it's the last straw. And you go, that's it, I've had enough. And at that point, you cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, help. Lord, come. Lord, I am afraid that if you don't walk with me, I'm not going to go. Lord, if you don't stand with me, I'm not going to stand. Lord, if you don't speak into my life, I'm not going to be able to conquer this. To have a healthy fear, not have an unhealthy fear, is what I want to try and put across to us afresh today as God's children. We're no longer a slave to fear because we are his children. We've been purchased by his blood. It talks about it in Luke 1:74, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. And if we look at God's word, it's like poetry. It's like poetry. It just flows. And God's word makes sense. And you've got Zechariah here. It says Zechariah's song. This is about the birth of John the Baptist. He's the forerunner. He's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preparing the way. But also in this portion of scripture, it's talking about Christ, the light of our salvation. It says in 67 of Luke 1, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with this dunamis, this power, and he prophesied. In other words, he spoke it out. He declared it. He sang it. He spoke it. He said, this is what God has said. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. Not he is coming and he might redeem them. He has come and he has redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation. The power and the authority, in other words, belongs to him for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies. What God says, he brings through to fruition. And from his hand, all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. God has a covenant people. And you are part of that covenant people. The oath he swore to our father Abraham. Abraham, he had a covenant with God. You and I, we have a covenant with God. It's sealed in the blood of Jesus. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve God without fear. In holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. All of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, and you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. John, you're going to be someone extraordinary, but you're going to have to go on this journey. And I'm sure for John, fear would have gripped him, but there was a word that the Lord has spoken into his heart through the power of the Holy Spirit to give his people the knowledge of salvation. And that's what you and I are called to do today, because we are a royal priesthood. For such a time as this, there's a covenant people. We're his children, so that we can declare the knowledge of his salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Because of his tender mercy, the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come, Christ is coming to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So I want to encourage you today that if you feel overwhelmed by fear, that God wants you to be guided into peace. And the way we are guided into peace is to allow the light of his son, Jesus Christ, the light of the love of the Lord, to shine upon that area. To be able to verbally say, I am no longer a slave to fear because I am a child of God. And that's not me just being a cheerleader. That's not me trying to manipulate God's word. This is God's word. It is true. Will you mess up? Yes. Will I get it wrong? Yes. Does God leave me? No. Why does he not leave me? Because his word says that he will never leave or forsake me. It doesn't say that when I mess up, he'll leave me. It doesn't say when I say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing, he'll leave me. It says, no, he'll pick me up. If I ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive me. He'll shine light on my darkness. And as he shines light on my darkness, the darkness will have to flee. So I want to walk into that area of peace. So wherever you are, whatever you're afraid of today, I'm not making little of your fear because it's real. For goodness sake, Here's me, a 57-year-old grown man, fearful of a few people in a room saying some nasty things. It was real. So I know whatever you're going through, if you are, it's real, and it's real to you. And to you, it's big. To someone else, it may be just small. But to you, it's big. But I want to encourage you to let the light of God's love shine upon that darkness so that fear will go. Whatever it is the enemy's trying to oppress you with, whether he's telling you you can't, you won't, you never will, remember what he said to his people. I'm giving you a land. And he says that same to me and you, because we're people of covenant, aren't we? We're people of the new covenant. We're people of grace. We're people that mess up, but God helps us up so that we can move forward, knowing that he is for us. And if he is for us, then no one can be against us. In Matthew 4, 16, people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those in the land of the shadow of death, light has dawned. And the psalmist, we repeat these time and time again because I think they have a new life every time you mention them. God's word is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, so his word will bring division. So when we hear words like shadow and death, for me, it conjures up the psalmist that says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because your rod and your staff is there to comfort me. And when you look around the whole picture and illustration of God's rod, or the rod and the staff of a shepherd, it's to correct and to direct. It's to say, no, sheep, come back this way. It's to correct and direct. And we can be in a valley experience, and the fear of the darkness can be overshadowing us. But that psalm says, though I walk through. So I want to encourage you, if you're in a dark place at the moment, walk through. Because as you walk through, he'll comfort you and he'll strengthen you. He'll guide you, he'll correct you, and he'll direct you. Why? Because he is a loving shepherd. That's what God's word says. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. The light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, there's something for me and you to do. We turn away from the things that are causing us pain and causing God pain, and we turn back to him. We repent, we say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Whatever it is, you make, if you want to, you make that declaration with God afresh today to say, I will no longer let fear master me. You may feel the emotions, but walk through it. When you're in the valley of the shadow, you're fearing, aren't you? That's what that psalm's about. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's talking about this blackness coming upon me. It says, I will walk through it. And for me, I said last week that I had a real fear of darkness, and I did. I used to talk to myself so that if someone was in the tree to jump out, they thought there was two of us, so they wouldn't. That's how mad I was. I had a real fear of the darkness. I used to look at shapes and see all kinds of weird and wonderful things that would frighten the life out of me. It was a real fear. Now, there's times where I walk into dark situations and I have to say, Lord, shine your light that I would not fear. And I walk through it. See, fear is not final unless fear is fatal. And fear is not fatal for God's people because we belong to him. But the enemy, the devil, can persuade you that fear is fatal. So for me, I'm in a dark situation in the natural, and there's a bit of fear coming. And as I start to walk, I'm saying it's not fatal because if he's with me, then Christ in me, the hope of glory. If it talks about Jesus Christ being a light that shines in the darkness, and the Bible talks about me having a deposit of the Holy Spirit in me, that means there's some light of the love of the Lord in me. Does that make sense to you? So where there is light, there can be no darkness. So God is with me. And I want to encourage you, you may feel that you're going through a dark situation, but start walking and start trusting and start remembering that I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I am a child of God. You've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. In Luke 11, 33, Jesus says this, no lamp, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they will put it on a stand. God's given us the light of his love so that we can shine in the darkness. The vision over this church, and it will always be over this church, hopefully, is Isaiah 61. I've been anointed to preach good news, Jesus said, to bind up the broken hearts and to set the captives free, that those that are in darkness will come into his light, that we will receive a double portion of his glory. God has a double portion for his people. That's his children. That's you and me if you belong to him. So let's be encouraged this day to take hold of God's word afresh, to see what he has to say to us and through us. In John 8, verse 12, halfway through that verse, it says this. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So these are not my words. Yes, I may be able to put things together and string them together, and it sounds poetic and it sounds like a story, but it's not a story. It's simply scripture making sense. So you say one thing, God's word always backs it up. It says this, Jesus says of himself, I am the light of the world. So that's Christ himself. That's God, Savior, King, and Lord. Whoever follows me, that's you. Come follow me and I will make you, he says to his disciples. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me and I will make, what's God making you? He's making you a fisher of men so that your light is not going to be hidden under a bowl. It's going to be on its lampstand so you can bring life and vitality into the darkness. But there's times for you and me that fear, I believe, will come and overshadow us and try and put out that light. And my encouragement to you today is look to the Lord. Look to his light and he'll enable the darkness to go. You no longer have to fear the darkness because his light shines. You belong to him. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, Jackie prayed earlier that she knows where she's going. And if you belong to Christ, you know where you're going. Oh, death, where is your sting? The power of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, the Bible says. But praise be to God, he's overcome the law. You're no longer a slave to fear. You are a child of God. If you can download that song, download it, and I believe it will speak to you afresh, as it did to Clive, as it has to me, as it has to Pauline and many others. John 12, verse 46, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me would stay in darkness. So it's not just your pastor saying, hey, guys, I know you're going through a tough time. Chin up. It's me saying, God's word says. And if you look at what the whole picture around Mary conceiving through the Holy Spirit, she says, my Lord, let it be to me as you have said. And it says, no word from God will ever fail. So if this is God's word, and we as Christians believe it is, yes, it won't fail. So I have come into the world, Jesus says, as a light, so that no one who believes in me will stay in darkness. So if you're feeling oppressed, if you're feeling that you're being overshadowed, that there's a sickness, there's a thought, there's a situation someone has done, someone has thought of, someone is speaking to you right now, trying to oppress you, then maybe today is your day where you can say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Lord, help me. Cry out to God afresh, as the Israelites did. Lord, help me. Deliver me. I am a covenant people. I belong to you. Romans 13, 12. The night is nearly over, and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And there's something for me and you to digest here, because there are times where me and you, we actively and consciously put on the deeds of darkness. We do things and we say things and we operate in a way that allows darkness to overshadow us. But God says, put it aside and put on the armor of light. So if you're in that position today, just say afresh, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Father God, come and cleanse me, come and clothe me. Let your light shine upon me because I am your child. And just as you discipline your children, God disciplines us. And why does he discipline us? Anyone? Because he loves us. I wish he wouldn't love me so much. I don't know if you feel like that. God, stop loving me so much. He disciplines the ones he loves. But he's given us an armor so that we can be all that we've been called to be, that we can stand in the day of adversity. In Exodus 2:23, it says, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help was because of their slavery. It went up to God. God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant, the covenant he made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Maybe this is a season where you cry out to God and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I am your child. Remember me. And God doesn't have a bad memory. Lord, speak to me afresh. Isaiah 58, verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. When I read this portion of scripture, do you know what? For those of you that have the privilege, the honor to minister God's word, do you search around for something that will fit? I do. I'm going, God, I'm speaking about this. But when you get a scripture like this that says that the Lord is our rear guard, it's talking about the pillar and the cloud. And it's saying, whether my light is in front of you or my cloud is behind you or vice versa, I am there with you in the front and in the rear. I'm your rear guard. So for me, it really encouraged me when I read this scripture a few weeks ago, because fear of failure, the fear of the dark, the fear of confrontation overwhelmed me as I sat on a chair. And as that fear overwhelmed me, I realized that I had the light of the Lord within me and that God was my rear guard. And even though the enemy was creeping up behind me, he wasn't going to take me by surprise because I have a different spirit, the Holy Spirit, and so do you. My final scripture, and I'll invite AJ and Jackie to come back and minister through song, is this in Matthew 26:28. Jesus says this, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." God's people found themselves in slavery. They got to a point where they said, "This is it. No longer are we going to make bricks without straw. No longer are we going to be enslaved. God, remember us. God, remember the covenant that you gave to our father. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, shine your light in this darkness." And you know the story. You know the story. They got to the Red Sea. They got to this body of water. And fear overcame them. Yet God had brought them out of this slavery. They'd been reminded that they were a covenant people. There's areas of your life God has already brought you out of. Yet there's circumstances where it's like a river in front of you and you say, "I cannot cross this. I can't get over this. I can't." The Lord said to me and Susan many years ago through a friend. They said, "Do you know what? God says this. There's something coming. Something coming. It's so big. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. You can't go around it. You have to go through it." And that was a painful part of my life. But it came to pass that I had to walk through it, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But how did I do it? I'm glad you asked. Because the light of the love of God was shining in me. And even though every fiber of my body was shaking and in fear, I could put on God's armor. Just like he says, put on a garment of praise. When you're feeling that life has been sucked out of you, when you're feeling that people who you love and people who you trust are deserting you and maligning you and doing bad to you, God says, put on the garment of praise. Put on the armor that I've given you. Remember, I'm your rear guard. Call out to me and I will answer. Remember, when we walk through the valley experiences is when we feel his comfort. And God says, I want to know you. Not just to know you by name, but to know you. I want you to know me. I want there to be an intimate relationship so that when you a force to confront your fears, you will fear not. You won't fear. Why? Because God's with you. Amen. If that's spoken to you today, if there's areas of your life, and I don't do this very well. I never went to school and learnt this stuff, the 3 points to giving a sermon. It's not in my vocabulary. God's word will do the work. And I know the reality of life is this. Life sucks. It does, doesn't it? Life sucks at times. And you know what? For me and Susan, when we were non-Christians, life was good. We became Christians and it's like hell imploded on us. Susan was fit and healthy, and then she was a wreck. She was physically, mentally, emotionally a wreck. Finances were ripped from our lives. And yet, we had a God that loved us, and it was a journey. And wherever you are on that journey, just during this worship song, maybe you can cry out to God and say, Lord, 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 remember me. Lord, shine your light upon me. Give me the strength to walk through the valley of shadow so that I can be comforted. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.